Welcome, my friends, the Wednesday edition of Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour here on WABC Talk Radio 77. If you would like to be part of the action today, 800-848-WABC is the number to call. I would like to take phone calls earlier. I really do want to hear what you have to say about some of the events in the news today. I don't know if any of you watched the hearing, the impeachment hearings today. Ooh, they went off the rails. It was great. It was great. This witness, Tony Bublinski, called them out by name, called out Jerry Raskin, Jamie Raskin, and he also called out New York's. This guy is a pro. I forget that he was actually a prosecutor with the Southern District of New York. This guy, Dan Goldman. What a. I try not to call people names, so let me refrain from calling him the name that I want to call him. Let me just say that I've never seen a more disingenuous politician than I rarely have seen one. And he called them. He called them out. He called Jamie Raskin, that's the Democrat Biden hack from Maryland, and Representative Dan Goldman from New York. We keep hearing from certain corners that our democracy is at risk and that democracy is on the ballot in 2024. Yet the same people preaching this mantra know better, continue to lie directly to the American people without hesitation or remorse. Dan Goldman and Jamie Raskin, both lawyers, and Mr. Goldman is a former prosecutor with the Southern District of New York, will continue to lie today at this hearing, and then go straight to the media and tell more lies. That was his opening statement. In his opening statement, call them out. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez did a five-minute diatribe almost. It is so shrill. Her voice is so shrill that it's very difficult to listen to. But she kept,
at this point in the story, isn't it a fact that the basis of this impeachment inquiry is wrong? The story is, why are they proceeding anyway?
And she kept on it. It was the most shrill discourse. But I will say this about, people have questioned her intelligence. And when it comes to matters of economics, which she claims to have studied in school, I can understand sometimes why people would question her intelligence. She doesn't seem to have a firm grasp on certain economic principles. That said, this woman, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is not a dumb bunny. The points that she raised, if I were a Democrat, I would be pleased that she was raising those points because she kept drilling. What are the specific charges? What are the specific crimes that you are charging that Biden did specifically? And the House committee has come under some criticism for not being specific enough. I mean, we can all say corruption. We know that there's money flying in and that there has been $20 million flying in. But you do have to connect the dots with what you believe has happened, and I'm not saying Republicans haven't done it. I'm just saying that she's asking for specificity, and if I were a Democrat, I'd be parroting her lines today. She's not. She knows how to frame an argument, is my point. Whether it's a valid argument or not is another question. There's good Fannie news today. Da Fannie, the judge in the case, who, as I point out, was once supervised as an employee of Da Fannie. He and his wife have both contributed to the Da Fannie prosecutor campaign. Well, the same judge, formerly supervised by Da Fannie, who has given money, he and his wife, to Dauphin's campaign. The same judge has allowed a request by the district attorney that seeks permission to ask the Georgia Court of Appeals to review his decision to keep her on the case. Now, I don't know how long this will take, but now, at least, an appeal of that decision is underway. As you recall, he, in allowing Dauphin to stay on the case, told her to get rid of the booty caller, get him off the case, and he rebuked her for a tremendous lapse in judgment. He questioned the truthfulness of both the booty callers and her testimony about the timing of their relationship. Trump's attorney, Donald Trump's attorney, Steve Sadow, called his decision today to allow the appeal to go forward highly significant. Said the defense is optimistic that the appellate review will lead to the case being dismissed and to Dauphin also being dismissed from the case. In other news, Donald Trump has indicated, as you know, that he cannot, it is impossible to raise the money that they're asking as the Democrats in New York try to break him. And Dalatisha isn't going for it. Dalatisha sent one of her minions out to say that they believe that Donald Trump did not file properly and that they don't like this idea that he says he can't raise the money. The New York Attorney General's office, that would be Dalatisha, has urged a state appeals court to make former Donald Trump put up a full bond before pausing the multi-million dollar judgment in his civil fraud case. Their filing, that would be Dalatisha, claims that Trump's legal team should have filed earlier to say that they could not pay. So we shall see what happens there. Now, I did read one piece that said that Donald Trump is basically, one of the strategies may be to let her seize his property. Let her seize the Trump Tower. Let her seize other assets. And then on after the appeal is over, he'll have them back from her. I don't know whether that is based on something that Donald Trump really considers to be a sound strategy or not. But Donald Trump's lawyers wrote that very few bonding companies would ever consider a bond of anything approaching the kind of magnitude that this $450 million judgment calls for. And Mr. Fan, that would be the Dennis Fan, the senior assistant solicitor general sent out by Dalatisha, said that there's no rule limiting Donald Trump to a single bondholder. He could have gotten it from a bunch of bondholders. So now they're telling him how he should do his finances. With the threat, of course, that they will seize his property. This is right out of, if you told me this was happening in communist Russia, in the old USSR, I would say, yeah, that about fits the communists. They hold a political show trial, and then after the political show trial is over, they give you an outrageous settlement that you can't possibly reach, knowing that they want to take your property away from you. If you told me, yeah, this is the USSR, I would have said, yep, that sounds just about what we can expect from the USSR. Now it's about what we can expect from the socialist government in New York. This is just completely, all of it is completely absurd. But that doesn't seem to stop the wheels from turning. Today, that Genesis song, Tonight, Tonight, should do a song, Today, Today. Today, Today, Joe Biden's administration threw the gauntlet down. I have been saying for as long as I've been doing this show that the Biden administration has pretty much embraced the Green New Deal that was first put forward by Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and company. If anybody wants proof that that is what has occurred, just look to what happened today. Today, today. Today, today, the Biden administration issued one of the most, quote-unquote, significant climate regulations in our history. They issued a rule designed to make sure, to ensure, to let it be known that they want to get rid of all of your gas cars by the year 2032. 8 years from now. 8 years from now, if they have their way, you, an American citizen, and millions of you who are here illegally, would not be able to purchase a gas car. You have to buy electric. Now, we had a story the other day about how the electric can't keep up. Our grid cannot keep up with this increased demand for electricity. Yet, new tailpipe pollution limits from the EPA would transform the American automobile market. They are trying to use regulations to supposedly control greenhouse gases to drive gas-powered cars out and off of the roads, get rid of them. And they're happy about this. Going into it, I would make them suffer for this. I would start Detroit. First of all, nobody is buying electric cars except in blue cities. California, they're selling a bunch of them. Some places in New York where a lot of the liberals don't mind plunking down $100,000 for a Tesla or whatever it costs, or some of these other fancy electric cars. But if you go out in the real United States, the other part of the United States that is not governed or run by blue city liberals, nobody's buying these things. They don't want them. But that will not sit well with the Democrats in charge. So they are going to, you don't like electric cars? Too bad for you. They are going to make you buy an electric car by making it impossible for you to keep your gas automobile. All right, my friends, coming up in just a matter of moments, you can listen to the 77 WABC News Road to the Election Update. Could this be the year that Republicans finally make some real inroads with Jewish voters? Noam Layden says the GOP sees signs that the reliably liberal voters may be having a change of heart. Noam has more in the road to the election coming up in mere moments. On this day, 1969, John Lennon married Yoko Ono in Gibraltar. They spent their honeymoon in Amsterdam. They had a bed in. And then they tried to come to the United States. They were told, no, you can't come here smoking weed and having bed-ins. So they went to Montreal. They had another bed-in. That's where they recorded Give Peace a Chance. Later that year, the Beatles recorded The Ballad of John and Yoko. John and Yoko. A thing on this day in 1969. All right, let's check in with Road to the White House. Coming back, your calls, 800-848-WABC. Stay with us.
It'll be just like like starting over.
The Rush Hour is on the air. Attention, Ditto Heads. Attention, Bo Scouts.
Rush
on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
In 1990, Gloria Estefan traveling in a tour bus that was rammed by a tractor trailer on the way to a concert. Her husband, Emilio, their son, Nayib, were also injured, but Gloria suffered a very, very serious back injury under the surgeon's knife 2 days later. Thank God she recovered. Gloria Estefan. Her big challenge and test came on this day in 1990. Let me talk for a moment about parents today. There was a story, I don't have it printed in front of me, yesterday. You may have seen it or heard about it. I think this was either Florida, California, somewhere that has beaches. The parents of two kids got so wasted, so drunk, or whatever they were using, that they passed out on top. They were nearly on top of each other. Meanwhile, their kids are left wandering all around the place. The cops, I guess, caught up with the wandering kids, finally came, saw the parents totally wasted out. Parents have been arrested. So there was that story. Today there's a story about a woman named Kenya Butler. This is down in Georgia. They're in a restaurant. Surveillance video shows what the police are saying is the mother telling her child to steal a purse from a booth at the restaurant. The family also skipped out on a $500 bill at a large party there. The dad or whoever it was, the man, we don't know whether dad or whatever, because he hasn't been found yet. They walked out on a $500 bill. The mom encourages the 7-year-old girl to steal a pocketbook that's not being watched at a nearby table. The mama, Kenya Butler, 28 years old, has been taken into custody. They're still looking for Dada or booty caller or whoever he is that's responsible for the big family that they had there walking out on the $500 charge. Then there was the story, this came out 2 days ago over an event that happened last summer, apparently. And this one bothered me so much that I found it difficult to, I find it difficult to believe that somebody would do this. The woman's name is Christelle Candelario. This woman, she's 32 years old, decided she needed a vacation. So, she took off. She went to Puerto Rico on a jet plane. I think she was in Detroit. She left her 16-year-old daughter at home, alone, in a crib. This woman stayed on vacation 10 days. When she retired, when she finally, then there's pictures of her on the beach, these selfies of her having a wonderful time on the beaches of Puerto Rico. When she returned home, what do you think she found? The baby was dead, of course. Starved to death. Nothing. No nourishment whatsoever. And she called 911. She was sentenced this week to life in jail without parole. The judge said, just as you didn't let Jalen, that's the name of her 16-year-old month, out of confinement, so too you should spend the rest of your life in a cell without freedom. The only difference will be the prison will at least feed you and give you liquid that you denied her. Now, the mama, who jetted off for 10 days to Puerto Rico and left her baby unattended, her toddler, 16-month-old, child knows kind of what's going on. They're calling for mama. They're calling for daddy. They're calling for somebody. Help me. They're crying. They're going, I cannot even imagine what it was like for this poor 16-year-old girl. When given a chance to speak, Cristel Candelario said this. There's so much pain that I have in regards to the loss of my baby. There's so much pain I have. I'm in pain because of the loss of my baby. I'm extremely hurt about everything that happened. I'm not trying to justify my actions, but nobody knew how much I was suffering and what I was going through. And then she said, God and my daughter have forgiven me. Time to check in with Kim Komando. On this day, so sad, Eric Clapton's 4-year-old son, Connor, fell to his death from the 53rd story of a New York City apartment. A housekeeper that was cleaning the room had left the window open. That tragedy still stays with Eric Clapton. We know it through this song.
Snerdly.
Goes by the pseudonym Bo Snerdly.
Rush.
Now here's Bo Snerdly.
2020. One of our favorites, Kenny Rogers, singer, songwriter, record producer, actor, entrepreneur, passed away at the age of 81. Voted the favorite singer of all time in a 1986 joint poll by USA Today and People Magazine. Kenny Rogers on WABC Talk Radio 77. The very day that Joe Biden, by the way, announces that he said it. I mean, 3 years ago, I set an ambitious target that half of all new cars and trucks sold in 2030 would be zero emission. He's bragging about the progress that they've made. Hundreds of expanded factories across the country, which, by the way, are creating cars that nobody wants. There's a big stockpile of EV cars. People don't want them in the numbers that they think. Hundreds of billions in private investments, thousands of good-paying union jobs. Yeah, layoffs in the car industry because nobody wants these electric cars. Forgot to mention that, Joe. But on the very day he's pumping out this legislation that will mandate that you buy an electric car if you want to drive on the roads by 2030. There's another story. You can find it at the Daily BS today. Comes the source is Center Square. California's energy costs are double the national average and increasing at double the national rate as the state pushes for reducing emissions 40% below the 1990 levels by 2030. Right? Here's the rub. The state's energy regulator says energy costs are rapidly approaching the tipping point. Filling up a Tesla with electrons will cost more than filling up a Camry with gasoline. So they're pushing these electric cars on you. We don't have the infrastructure for this, folks. And already in California, they are rapidly approaching the point where it will cost more to charge your car, your electric car, than it costs to put gas in a car. And that's only now. Can you imagine if they get what they want and they forbid you from driving your gas-powered vehicle to satisfy their environmentalist? Oh, man. That's why Donald Trump was saying, look, if I don't win this election, there's going to be a bloodbath. He was specifically talking about the car industry. And today, I remember a few days ago when the story came out, I said the real headline ought to be what China is doing trying to flood the American market with electric cars. Well, the press has caught on to it. This is the second day in a row that there are stories about that. Trump's attack on Chinese cars strike a chord with both parties. Well, why didn't you put that the first day instead of this whole bloodbath nonsense? Former President Donald Trump's pledge to slap a 100% tariff on Chinese vehicle imports aligns with a rise in anxiety in Washington about the growing might of Beijing's auto industry, with both Democrats and Republicans clamoring for drastic steps to save American jobs. Yeah, meanwhile, they were trying to electioneer taking this whole bloodbath thing out of context. Let's head to the telephones. Sandra in New Jersey, up first. What is on your mind this afternoon?
Well, I was thinking about you, James. I know how you feel about Bonnie Willis. I know you like her so much that I wanted to tell you something that she said at the church, which is so strange. She was talking about Donald Trump. She was saying that Jesus Christ told her
to prosecute him.
Yeah. I mean, this is so crazy, don't you think? She was saying things like that. I don't know.
This is one of the things that the judge said showed terrible judgment by her. And this is not something that a prosecutor does. This is why this appeal that Donald Trump is making is so valid. And the appeals court hopefully will take this into consideration. She's in a church saying pretty much Jesus told me to prosecute Donald Trump. Really? She knows better. And she just thinks that, like all other Democrats, nobody's going to stop her from doing anything. I'm glad that this lawyer at least had the decency, the judge in the case, McAfee, to let this appeal go through. Hopefully the appellate court will look at Da Fanny and say, okay, we've had enough of Da Fanny. She's off the case. Let us go to Kathy in Smithtown, Long Island. Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Hello, sir. How are you? The reason I'm calling is because I heard a very disturbing story the other night. There's a town in Ohio, Perry, Ohio, of about 8,000 people. 1,200 of those people work in the Tyson Pork Factory. They're closing the pork factory and moving it to Tennessee. But what they did was they had a job fair in New York City for all the illegals. They are hiring them, giving them immigration attorneys, moving them to Tennessee, and providing housing for them. I feel like Tyson, we should all boycott Tyson, do a Bud Light on them. How dare them?
Well. We'll have to look into that. I read about Tyson and their problems with child labor. No. Let me be careful here. There are problems with labor. And then there were some other companies involved in food processing that had let children into the workforce that were not supposed to be there. I'm going to have to investigate this and come up with and see whether this is indeed, and not that I'm doubting you, but I just need to know the facts myself. Because if what you say is dead accurate, that this job fair in New York was to hire a new workforce and they're going to throw American citizens out of work in Ohio, shift it to Tennessee, and hire illegal immigrants, why? It's unconscionable. And this should be a campaign issue. This definitely should be a campaign issue. Mark in Brooklyn, New York, you're up next.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Quite welcome. What's on your mind, Mark? Yes, Mark, what is on your mind this afternoon?
Yeah, I wanted to bring up about a southern border in Israel, the issue, and how they connect. Because the liberals and Democrats, they have this ideology that, you know, they don't like citizens of countries. They just say citizens of the world and everybody should come in. There shouldn't be any citizens and no borders and everybody come in and it's one big happy family. Except, and here's the except, and here where Israel comes in, if a Jew wants to live in the West Bank, if a Jew wants to even visit one of the holy sites of the Jewish people in the West Bank, that God forbid. But at our southern border, there shouldn't be any borders. I don't know how that makes sense.
It doesn't make sense. And I'll tell you what else is happening out here. You mentioned this. Donald Trump has gone on the attack. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, that Jewish people who vote Democrats hate their religion. And boy, has that set off a firestorm. And that firestorm, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, among others, they are outraged. But here's the thing. Who in these cities that are having all these protests in support of Hamas, where are they happening? They're happening in Democrat cities. They're happening in liberal universities. Liberals vote Democrat. I think if I were a person that supported Israel, I would be looking very closely at the behavior of the Democrat Party. And Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer, Dick Durbin, all of them talk out of both sides of their mouth. They talk about why they support Israel, but they are worried about the 2024 election. They want to appease the pro-Hamas protesters. They are trying every which way they can to appease them. Joseph in New Jersey, you're up next. Hello, Joseph. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. It's almost time to check in with Lou Dobbs, but before we do, it is the 77 WABC Big Basketball Bracket Challenge. UConn, Houston, Purdue, Duke. Who, I ask you, will be this year's tournament champ? Registration now open. Go to WABCRadio.com/bracket. Sign up right now. Free to enter. Make up to 5 brackets for your chance to win. You'll be playing against Sid and Friends in the morning. Greg Kelly, Rudy Giuliani, and the rest of the 77 WABC squad. There's a prize here. You can win yourself $500. And I'm sure $500, that's not pocket change. Go to WABCRadio.com/bracket. Sign up right now. Who and why?
Who and why, indeed. This is Chester Bennington's birthday today. Born in 1976, he is the American singer-songwriter with Linkin Park, who had the 2002 U.S. number 2 and U.K. number 4 single In the End, and the 2002 U.S. number 2 and 2001 U.K. number 4 album Hybrid Theory. Happy birthday, Chester Bennington.
Boom. Time to check in with Lou Dobbs. Coming back, more of your telephone calls. More news, as always, on Bo Snurley's Wednesday Rush Hour. Keep it right here. Like I was part of your property. Remembering all the times you fought with me. I'm surprised it got so.
Things aren't the way they were before. Rush. It's the Rush Hour with Bo Snurley on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
1964. The Temptations released their debut album, Meet the Temptations. And who would people be meeting? Well, Eddie Kendricks, Melvin Franklin, Paul Williams, Otis Williams, and a new Temptation, Davis Ruffin. Yes, that's right, Davis Ruffin, who later changed the name to David Ruffin. He had just joined the group 3 months before this album was released. All the tracks were already recorded, except for this one. And Davis is singing on this one. One of their first hits, The Way You Do the Things You Do. Temptations on WABC Talk Radio 77.
James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, presents Rapid Phones.
Let's go to Ralph. Ralph, where are you calling from?
New Rochelle. How are you, Mr. Golden?
I am fine, Ralph. How are you doing?
Okay, I have a question. Do you know, is there any country in the world that taxes their citizens and sends the money to the United States to help us?
Oh, what a wonderful, what a great question. This is a monumental question. No, I don't know of any nation that taxes their citizens so they can send money to help the United States of America. Ralph, that question is superlatively brilliant. You make your point with one question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Regis in Long Island. How are you, Regis?
Hey, I'm okay. I just wanted
How's
to
Kathy?
Say, like, I can't do enough of that one, man.
I'm telling you. Okay. Sorry.
Anyway, in the 80s, I was a young father. I had a car. My wife had a car. And then I bought like an old Volkswagen Beetle to have fun with, you know, for like $100. How are you going to be able to do that when it's all electric?
You're not going to be able. That's the point. Another brilliant one. These are brilliant questions I'm getting. Wait, how are you going to be able to do that? You know the answer. You are not able to do it. And that is the entire point of what Joe Biden, the Democrats want when they try to flip everything over to electric vehicles that are becoming more and more unaffordable. They don't want you to drive. They want you to have to give up your car and get on mass transit and stop polluting the earth with your decadent lifestyle. That is the whole point of this exercise. Another brilliant question. Thank you, Regis. Jerry, in New Jersey, you are up next.
Yeah, the insurance is astronomical on these. Right now, they have premium people who are usually engineers and high business people, have multiple lines of credit and multiple high credit scores, and they have homeowners insurance, multiple car insurance, et cetera, that lowers the rate. At scale, your average person is going to pay double, maybe even triple for insurance for these cars because they total out at an astronomical rate. That's the hidden thing. Small little bumps, they're totaled, and they have to have the damage on a regular car that's $5,000 on these is $15,000 on average when they get a hit. It's ridiculous. And we don't even have the people to fix these things. We'd have to have a Marshall Plan, $1 trillion, to put the right equipment across the nation and retrain all of our people. How ridiculous.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Stan in Pennsylvania, you are up next.
Hey, Bo. Enjoying your show. Boy, these calls are great. I just wanted to say out here and fly over mid-state, you know, country, I don't know any poor or low-income Democrat anywhere.
Well, I'll tell you where you find the poor Democrats, because they do exist. You find the poor Democrats where you always have found the poor Democrats. For the last 50, 60, 70 years, Democrats have been telling minorities and also poor people in like places like Appalachia, we're here to help. We're the government. We're here to help. And what happens 60 years later? They're still saying we're here to help. It's the Republicans' fault. There are poor Democrats. And by the way, if you go to the state of California, if you go to certain places and neighborhoods in New York City, they're where they always been. And if you keep electing Democrats, they'll still be there 100 years from now. Generational poverty brought to you by the Democrat Party. That's it for the day. May God bless you. Robert, I so wanted to get to you. Please call us tomorrow and everyone else. May God bless and protect each and every single one of you, your families, your loved ones. Love and gratitude for your being here with me and allowing me to be with you. My friends, God willing, back tomorrow, 4 p.m. for the Thursday edition of Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour. Until then, adios. Adios.